Yep. Okay, if you've got a Bible, do you want to go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 69 to 75? And we're actually going to begin today by looking at the life of Simon Peter. We're going to look at what happened when he denied Jesus three times. So Matthew chapter 26, verse 69 to 75. If you've got it, can you say yes? It's on the screen. Is it on the screen? Great. Okay. Here's what the Word of God says. It says, "Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee,' she said." But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Okay, at the moment during the summer holidays, we are doing a series called Daring Disciples. And what we're looking at is we're looking at what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. What Jesus expects of a disciple and how a disciple of Jesus is to live. And the title of today's message is this. It's "Failure is not final for a disciple." Failure is not final for a disciple. Can you say failure is not final? Failure is not final. And we see this in the life of Simon Peter. Listen to what the Bible says, and you don't need to go there, but Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16, it says, "A righteous person falls seven times, but they rise again." One of the signs of a disciple of Jesus is not that you'll never fall, that you'll never make a mistake, that you'll never sin, but the sign of being a disciple of Jesus is that when you fall, you pick yourself up and you have a good attitude towards learning from your sin and from your mistake. The truth is that we all sin in so many different ways. The truth is that if we look back on our lives, we've maybe all got regrets. We've maybe all got things that we would love to change about our life. But the grace of Jesus is present and is there for you in the same way that it was there for Simon Peter, the disciple of Jesus, after he had denied Jesus three times. And you know, when we sin as disciples of Jesus or as Christians, there's two extremes, bad extremes that we can fall into. One extreme is just to not care less, to feel no conviction at all, to learn nothing, and to continue in the same way. But the other extreme is to feel so bad, so guilty, so disappointed with ourselves that we never actually pick ourselves up and move forward. Listen, a disciple will sin in many ways. You will let the Lord down in so many ways. We all have done. But the reality is that a disciple knows that failure is not final. Actually, a disciple knows that our failures are an opportunity for us to learn and for us to move forward as well. And today we're going to look at the disciple of Jesus, Simon Peter, who made so many mistakes and who sinned in so many ways, and yet he was a man who reached his destiny. God has a plan for your life. God has a destiny for you. And in order to reach it, you need to know that failure is not final, that you can pick yourself up and enter into all that God has for you. Okay, Simon Peter. What do we know about Simon Peter? I remember we looked at him briefly a couple of weeks ago. Can anyone shout out anything about Simon Peter that we remember? He was a fisherman, Robert. Excellent. And he had a brother who was a fisherman too. Anyone remember his brother's name? Andrew. So Simon Peter was a fisherman. He had his brother Andrew. They were called by Jesus to be disciples. Anyone else know anything about Simon Peter? He was married, okay? He was married. We know that because Jesus went and healed his mother-in-law. And the fact that he was married, it would suggest that he was also the oldest disciple. And therefore, when you read the Gospels carefully and the book of Acts, it seems as well he was the leader of the 12 after Jesus. Okay, great. Anyone else? Wendy, you're going to say something. He was married as well. Wendy was going to say he was married. Yep. He was the one who had the revelation that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's why Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter. Anyone else? What do we know about Simon? He was the leader of the group of the 12. And we could, I'll not go into all that now, but it seems from the scriptures that he was the leader of the 12 after Jesus. Yep. And he was impulsive. He would think and then, no, he would speak and then he would think. He was somebody who would often put his foot in it. Yep. Anyone else? He briefly walked in water before he just about sank. He was also, if you remember in the book of Acts, the one who preached the gospel in Jerusalem and 3,000 got saved, and he was imprisoned for his faith. But significantly, historians say, now this isn't recorded in the Bible, but we could say that Jesus definitely touches on in John 21, that historians say that he was crucified, he died a martyr's death, and he was crucified, historians say, upside down, because he didn't consider himself worthy to die in the same way that Jesus did. So he asked, historians say, if he could be crucified upside down in absolute agony. Such was his love and his commitment to Jesus. Okay, so we've got a bit of a background there of Simon Peter, and today I'm going to briefly look at some of the mistakes that Simon Peter made when he was on earth, and we're going to see what can we learn from that. How did Simon Peter react? Okay, let's look at the first mistake that Simon Peter made. These are in no specific order. A few weeks before Jesus died in Jerusalem, Jesus took his disciples and said, listen, I'm about to die in Jerusalem, guys. Okay, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. The chief priests are going to get me. They're going to kill me. I'm going to be betrayed. And now you would think that the disciples would go, oh, come on, Jesus, we're going to pray for you. We're here for you. We're here to support you. And Jesus was prophesying, telling them what was going to happen. And what did Simon Peter say? Simon Peter, thinking that he was helping Jesus, said, Lord, this will never happen to you. Don't say that. Because Simon Peter didn't have the revelation that Jesus needed to die. And what was Jesus' reaction to Simon Peter? Can anyone remember what Jesus said to Simon Peter? He said to him, get behind me, Satan. Okay, now we've read that so many times that maybe it doesn't even touch us anymore. How would you feel if you came to church next time that a prophet was in the church? And the prophet pointed you out and said, in front of everyone, get behind me, Satan. How would you feel? Devastated. Or some people would say you're a false prophet. That would be the easiest way out. Come on, let's think about it. Peter was a real man. How would you feel if you came to church on Sunday and a prophet pointed at you and said, get behind me, Satan? You would be gutted. You would be embarrassed. Do you know here that Peter, after his failure, had the perfect excuse to walk away? You know, he had the perfect excuse here to say, oh, Jesus doesn't love me. He called me the devil. And yet, Peter took it on the chin. It was the perfect moment for Peter to allow offense into his heart and to walk away. But what did Peter say? He said, Jesus, only you have the words of eternal life. And a disciple of Jesus knows how to deal with offense. A disciple of Jesus doesn't hold on to unforgiveness and grudges and bitterness and resentment. And this was a moment when many of us would have walked away had we been in Peter's shoes. But Peter stood firm. another mistake that Peter made. Do you remember Luke chapter 9? Jesus again tells the disciples, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to die. Now this time Peter doesn't say, Lord, this will never happen to you. What's the response of the disciples? Anyone remember? Luke writes that the disciples start arguing. And what are they arguing about? They argue about who's the greatest. Now why? It's really important that you understand why they're having that argument. Because after Jesus, remember, who's the leader of the group? Simon Peter. Jesus has said that he's about to die. So what's everyone wanting to know? Who's going to be the leader of the group? It wasn't a case of the disciples coming along, say, Jesus putting their arm around them, saying, listen, we're going to be faithful and loyal to you right up until death. They're having an argument about who's going to be the greatest. Now remember, Peter being the leader of the group. How would you feel? Come on, let's put ourselves in this situation. We've read it so many times it doesn't touch us. How would you feel if you went out of the church on Sunday morning and there was a group of the guys from the church having an argument about who was the most spiritual? And Stephen was saying to Colin, Colin, you're no way as nearly spiritual as me. And then Robert's pushing them aside saying, look, you don't know how much I read the Bible every day. Come on, these are real guys having a real argument. And what did Jesus do? Anyone remember? He just took a child and he said, if you want to be the greatest, you need to be the smallest and the least and the most humble. And we've got a situation there where it says that Jesus knew what their thoughts were. That's what Luke writes. Just imagine how embarrassing that would have been for Peter and the disciples that they're having that argument. Did Peter learn from his mistake? Absolutely. Absolutely learn from his mistake. But he was absolutely broken, as you know, at the time of the crucifixion when he disowned Jesus 3 times after he'd been arguing about who was the greatest. Now, as I shared earlier, historians say that Peter was crucified upside down. It just shows you how much the Lord changed his heart from being someone who wanted to be the greatest, and then he became the one who truly wanted to become the least, that he didn't even consider himself worthy of dying the same death as Jesus did. Another mistake that Peter made, this one's slightly different, but on the night Jesus is just before he's crucified, he takes the 12 into the garden of Gethsemane, and he says to them, he takes Peter, James, and John, the ones closest to him, and he takes them aside and he just goes a little further and he starts to pray. And he comes back a short time later, and what's happening? They're sleeping. There's a funny noise in the garden, and it's Peter snoring. Okay. And Jesus comes back and he specifically chooses one of the disciples and he says to them, could you not pray? Who was the disciple that he chose? It was Simon Peter. He chose Simon Peter and he says, Simon Peter, could you not pray? Anyway, Jesus goes away again and he comes back, and what's happening? What's Simon Peter doing again when he comes back? He's sleeping. Jesus goes away and prays again and he comes back, and what's happening? Simon Peter sleeping. In Jesus' greatest moment of need, he's saying to Simon Peter, can you not pray? And Simon Peter's asleep. Can anyone identify with Simon Peter there? Can anyone identify with that moment when you feel that the Holy Spirit is asking you to pray or to worship and all you want to do is sleep or watch the telly? Anyone identify with that? See, it's just, they were made of flesh and blood in the same way that we were. And yet, Simon Peter's failure wasn't final, because remember, about 50 days later, Simon Peter was in the upper room praying and praying and praying and praying and praying with the other disciples, asking for the Holy Spirit to come. And you know that the Holy Spirit came upon them powerfully. Another mistake that Peter made that we see in the scriptures is, do you remember just in the Garden of Gethsemane? The high priest arrives with his entourage, with all these really tough men. Judas betrays Jesus with a kiss. And what does Peter do? He takes his sword and strikes the ear of the high priest. Can anyone remember what his name was? His name was Malchus. Okay. Strikes his ear and he cuts it off. Now, again, we've just read that so many times. Can you imagine if after a prayer meeting in the church, we go out and some of the guys in the church are get involved in an argument with somebody and Colin throws a punch and the guy ends up in A&E? This servant of the high priest has actually just had his ear cut off, and that was after 3 years of listening to Jesus' teaching. And what was Jesus' teaching all about? Remember, he said, if someone punches you on one face, what do? Turn the other cheek. Do you remember? Jesus said, if someone curses you, what have you to do? Bless. If someone hates you, pray for them. And Peter had heard that teaching for 3 years, and that when he was under the pressure, the old Peter rose up, the violent Peter, the aggressive Peter, and he goes for Malchus with his sword. Now, presumably, he didn't go to chop off his ear. Presumably, he threw in his sword at the guy's head or the guy's neck, and he manages to swerve out of the way. But Simon Peter's failure wasn't final. And just briefly, the last mistake that I'm going to look at that Simon Peter made, we read it earlier. Do you remember? Jesus is about to be crucified. He's been arrested. And Peter denied Jesus 3 times. He denied knowing him. Now, here's a quick question for you. Does anyone remember what Simon Peter did or said? We read it earlier in Matthew when he denied Jesus. It's a really interesting line. Simon Peter said or did something. So he swore that he didn't know him, and he called down curses on himself. Have you ever thought, what were those curses that Simon Peter said when he denied Jesus? Anyone want to take a guess? There's not a right or a wrong answer. No? No one want to take a guess? But he curses himself. He swears that he doesn't know Jesus, and he denies knowing Jesus 3 times. And this was, remember, the man who shortly before that had been having an argument about who was the greatest. Now, there are other mistakes that we could look at of Simon Peter as well. For example, if you read Galatians chapter 2, you'll see that the Apostle Paul publicly rebukes him for his hypocrisy. If you read the story of the Transfiguration, Peter's talking away and a voice comes from heaven when he's talking, and he said, "This is my son, listen to him," when Peter's speaking, and Peter just falls down on the ground terrified. But there's lots of other things I could talk about. But I want to tell you this morning that failure is not final. Wendy, are you able just to play something gently? Is that okay, Wendy? Failure is not final for a disciple of Jesus. When we sin, and we all sin in many ways, when we let the Lord down, and we all let the Lord down in so many ways, when we fall, it's so important that we learn to reach out and to receive the Lord's grace, which is evident and present for us all. Bye, Adolphus. God bless you. And you might be thinking, well, how do I pick myself up? How do I go forward if I've failed? And if I've sinned and if I've let the Lord down in so many ways, it's not complicated. Number one, the Bible says that we confess our sin. The Bible says he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. We just need to call out to God and recognize that we've sinned before him. And if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. The second thing that we need to do is we need to repent. Now, all repent means is it means to turn away. That often just involves just making practical decisions, doing practical things, so that we don't go back into our old ways. And also, when we sin, we need to ask ourselves, do I need to put anything right with a brother or sister, with another person? You know, when the prodigal son came running home, he said, "I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you." And we get ourselves right with God, and then if necessary, we get ourselves right with one another as well. Failure is not final for the disciple of Jesus. I'd encourage you to be someone who picks yourself up, who moves forward, who learns from your mistakes, and who knows that the mistakes that we make in our life, this, even the times when we sin, that can be a time when we learn, that we see it as an opportunity of growth to move forward, that we would truly, truly, truly pick ourselves up, learn, grow, and go forward. Failure is not final for the disciple. Can we pray? Father, I would like to say thank you so much for your amazing grace for each one of us. Lord, we look at the life of Simon Peter and we see all of the mistakes that he made, all of the sin that he committed, and we've only seen a little bit, Lord, this morning, but I thank you because in his life we see how you forgave him. We see how he reached his destiny. We see how he was a man who had a repentant heart and who loved you. And I pray, Father, for each person here that you would teach us and help us to move forward, to pick ourselves up, not to stay in the gutter, not to stay in guilt or in sadness or in sorrow, but to learn from our mistakes. And I pray for each person here today, Lord, that each one of us would enter into the destiny and into the plans and into the purposes that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.